Would you take your Bibles this morning and open to Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. I'm looking forward to beginning next Sunday our series that will take the whole of 2022 as we look from beginnings to end about the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will walk through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 2022 with an overview of God's work of salvation. And many of you will be joining us with a chronological Bible reading through 2022. I'll say more about that at the end of our service here today. Today, we continue just focusing in on the miracle that was Jesus' birth on earth. Luke chapter 2, passage that was read for us Christmas Eve. Let's return to verses 13 through 20. And would you follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read? Luke chapter 2, verse 13. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Father, we do pray your blessing on our time in the Word here. Would you open our eyes, help us to understand? I pray that we would understand to a greater extent the wonder of these events. Strike us with your glory. I pray that we would be taken back. I pray that we would not be guilty of a ho-hum response. God, this is amazing. And we need to be moved. And so, Father, I do pray that you would work in our hearts, use the Holy Spirit to open our eyes, convict us where needed. And God, I do pray that our response to you through the preaching of your word would bring joy to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We respond a lot of different ways to news, maybe the visit of a loved one. This Christmas season, this is a good time to bring this up because for many, we have received news yesterday morning as Michelle sent me a text saying, "Mom went to heaven on Christmas Day." It's news. And we all respond differently to news. Maybe it is the news of a trip or a gift or a baby being born. Some people, when they hear the news, when they get the information, when the announcement is made, some are exuberant. Sometimes when you receive a gift, there's a scream of some kind. Others are thoughtful. There's nothing that comes out of their mouth. There's just a smile on their face. Maybe it's not even from their mouth. It's just a smile in their eyes. Some rejoice outwardly. Others don't know what to say and simply take it all in. Well, that was true with the birth of our Lord Jesus as well. You see the whole host of responses to the news. We catch a glimpse of it in our text this morning. We have the heavenly host, that angelic presence that bursts into praise. They, as far as we know, have never personally known of the grace of God like we have. They haven't been the recipients of it like we have. So they are astounded by what God is doing for human beings. And the proclamation made in verses 9 through 12 is followed by worship. Theirs is a vocal, exclamatory response, a praise so that all could hear. The majestic glory of God lighting up the sky like neon lights saying, "This is news, this is news," and everyone needs to hear it. We see the response of the shepherds in verses 15 through 20. Notice this about the response of the shepherds. Follow along in the scriptures. First of all, verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, boy, what do you make of this? Let's sit down around the fire and talk about it. Let's contemplate what we have seen here. I mean, there's got to be an explanation for it, right? No, what we see in the scriptures is this. Here is their collective response. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. What we see out of the shepherds is an immediate obedience. There's a belief. Yes, this has got to be true. Verse 16, it leads them to obedience. They came with haste. Isn't haste? Haste not in a careless way, but haste as in a very rapid, a quick response. Isn't that a test of obedience? Of course, all parents in here would say yes. It most certainly is. Show me a child who moves with haste, and I'll show you a child who gets obedience in their heart. That's what's going on here with the shepherds. There is a belief. Let's go. The angel said it. It came from God. Let's go in obedience. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Their belief, which led to obedience, showed itself in service. They were quick to say, others need to know, others need to hear. And then verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Belief, obedience, service rooted in worship. Would make a good message, wouldn't it? I mean, isn't that the challenge we need to hear? Do you believe? Do you show your belief by obedience? Does your obedience lead to ministry service? And is all of that rooted in deep, deep worship? Here's the response of the shepherds. Again, theirs is a very active, a very vocal response to the presence, to the news of the Savior. And this pattern is seen in Scripture where we see and are encouraged to adopt this same mindset throughout the Word of God. We are to openly praise, we are to openly exalt and proclaim. We see that pattern again in this passage, right? But there's another pattern set before us in response to the work of the Lord. I am actually hesitant to mention this morning. And the reason I am hesitant to mention it is because of our private and often stoic bent to religion. You're staring at me uncomfortably right now. Because that's who we are. We like our relationship with the Lord, our walk with the Lord, even our response to the Lord to be very, very, very private. That was not the case with the Jewish people. They were not that way. In fact, to find someone who was more reserved was an anomaly. Because they were a people who were typically expressive, very colorful, very emotional people. As you work your way through the Old Testament, the songs of praise are full with the clapping of the hands and the raising of the arms. Right, the response would have been very open, very verbal, very communicative. What do we do? That's what we do. We're quite reserved. This is why I'm hesitant to mention this, but we see it here. We see in the person of Mary a response of quiet inner contemplation, of meditation, of pondering. And for many of us, we say, yeah, that fits me much better. No, it's not an either or. It's a together and response that really is being shown to us here in Scripture. It's not that Mary was never a person of vocal praise, but she is responding to all that is taking place in Luke chapters 1 and 2, which, by the way, covers several months, right? And her response here in this passage of Scripture is so different from the response of the others. Again, not right or wrong, just different, and one that we should contemplate this morning. Many of you are familiar with the words of the hymn writer. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. Why might we want to do that? Why would he even pen those words? Isn't it true that things of wonder become commonplace to us? If you've ever had a new car, maybe it was new to you, but you've had a new car, a new house. It doesn't take too long for the newness to wear off, does it? Whereas at one point we wondered at this, look, this is amazing. It just becomes part of life. While back when we were not meeting in person, you know what we were struck with? We would say it this way, boy, do we take the meeting of the church for granted. It's because wonder becomes commonplace. It's true in our life. It is what we as human beings fall into by default, where the sparkle wears off, the shine is dimmed. You're familiar with the term familiarity breeds contempt. That was authored by a Latin slave turned philosopher way back just before the time of Christ. Aesop, in Aesop's Fables, talked about it. We actually read about it in the Bible, Mark chapter 6. You remember when Jesus was rejected by his own village? Why was he rejected? Because, come on, this place, this is where, no, we know him. I mean, good guy, always obeyed mom and dad, always did the right thing, but come on, Savior? They were so familiar that they didn't see the specialness of Jesus. They ho-hummed him. So the need comes, the hymn writer leads us, teaches us, the need comes to ponder anew, to reflect deeply on the things that truly matter. And this is what we see here in Luke chapter 2. Mary, seeing and experiencing the response of all of those around her, she responds herself yet in a different way. Look at verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Probably the word that is most easily tossed out of that sentence is the very first one, but. That very first word, but. We quickly say Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. But what about the but? The but is a very important word for us. It means there's a different response. On the heels, this message comes on the heels of the angels, glory to God in the highest, on the shepherds with their belief and obedience and service and worship. There's a very active response by the people all around Mary and Joseph, but Mary. But Mary, it's a little bit different here. Unlike the exuberant praise of the angels, unlike the outward action of the shepherds, Mary, we read here, she keeps and ponders. She treasures up and reflects deeply. Now, you and I treasure memories. We do this often. We hold on to certain facts. We hold on to events and conversations from our lives. And we rehearse them over and over again. Why do we do this? Well, first of all, we don't want to let that memory fade. I remember some of the first steps of our children. You know those wobbly, goofy steps where they're just giggling along? I cherish those memories. I remember especially Trent's first steps. And the reason why is because I'm getting old and I forgot the other ones. But I remember his first steps. They were here in Wausau. You remember that when we first moved here, he had just been born. It's easy for us to remember how long we have been here because that's how old he is. So he was just a little baby, and I remember those steps, and I remember between the island and the sink, the countertop where the sink is. And here he comes right down that little walkway, giggling away. It's great memories. We hold on to those things. I don't want that memory to fade. But the other reason we rehearse memories over and over and over again is we try to make sense of what and why or how something happened. If you've ever been in an accident of any kind, you rehearse and you say, how did that all go down? And what? How did I get into that predicament? Mary stored up, Mary treasured all these things. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What's interesting is we don't find Mary questioning God because life doesn't make sense. You don't find Mary doing that at any point in the record. We also don't see her running, trying to escape her circumstances, which, can I remind us, her circumstances were extreme. Quite extreme. What we find is a young girl treasuring and pondering. This isn't something she had learned after a long life. Now, of course, she doesn't want the memory to fade. She wants to hold on to all of this. It is unthinkable. It is amazing. It is miraculous. It is her son. In a very human sense, don't lose sight of that truth, that this is her son, and all that's going on around her is because of this little boy that I have just birthed. My thinking is that treasuring and that pondering, this act that Mary was involved in, it had something to do with what we would call adoration. Yes, there's the wonder of holding your baby. In fact, you and I would say this. We would say, well, Mary adores her baby. But also, the wonder of this baby is that he is Emmanuel, God with us. Is that they were told, Mary and Joseph, they were told, you will call his name, you will name him Jesus, who would be the Messiah, who would be the Christ, who would be the Savior. Many rightly responded to the fact of the Savior. We see that all throughout the account here. There are many who respond rightly to the fact of the Savior, his actual presence before, during, and after his birth. But Mary seems to be thinking in a much more contemplative way. Still worship, but far more personal response than the others around her. The testimony of Mary keeping and pondering leads me to believe that perhaps there ought to be more wonder and more adoration of the Christ in my own heart. I am quick to serve. Jesus loves me? Great. Where's a chair I can set up? Jesus loves me? Is there a Sunday school class I can be involved in? Jesus loves me. What can I do around the building? All of that's good. But the testimony of Mary here, keeping and pondering, leads me to believe that perhaps there ought to be more wonder and adoration of the Christ in my heart. Now, you and I have talked about adoring Jesus often. We sing of it almost every Sunday. What I would like for us to do is I'd like to read a number of adoration passages to you this morning. Don't try to keep up with them in your Bible. Maybe you want to jot them down. Maybe you just want to listen and soak it all in. But here is how we are instructed in Scripture. Yes, praise, worship, lift hands, lift hearts, open your mouth, yes, but adore. Psalm 95, verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2, Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. And the idea is, open your eyes and take it in. Psalm 99, the Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. We start to get the picture as we work our way through the Psalms. The Scriptures command us to bow before Him, to kneel before Him, to adore Jesus and to adore Jesus alone. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5, Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Could it be that Mary while being mocked by her neighbors and family for being pregnant while not married. Could it be that Psalm 100 was the object of her pondering? But Lord, your steadfast love endures forever. These people seem to hate me. I've done nothing. They don't believe my testimony. They don't believe that I could be the one that you are going to provide the Savior through. But your faithfulness is true to all generations. Psalm 59, I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. You have been my defense and refuge in my day of trouble. Mary had days of trouble. On what did she ponder? To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. As we work our way into the New Testament, church, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to worship? Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue confessing his power, every tongue confessing his strength and his greatness, his control, every knee bowing. For he is Savior, and he is King, and he is Lord. He is the one to whom all of our love, our utmost adoration, should be focused on. And so in Luke 19, when Mary keeps these things and ponders them in her heart, I believe this to be an act of adoration. No question, a mom would look at her baby and say, I adore my son. But as Mary holds this baby, her adoration is focused on the fact that this is the glory of God in the highest. This is mercy and grace. This is my salvation. How can it be? And so we are moved, I think, as we read through the responses of Christmas morning to ponder, to contemplate, and let that pondering and that contemplation, let it lead us to adoration, where we adore every day of our redeemed life. And we saw on Christmas Eve that there is a close connection between God's grace, his favor, and the trials that we face here on earth. Mary, we know, Mary wasn't exempt from that, nor was the baby that she carried. And perhaps this is some of what Mary was treasuring, what she was pondering, how this adoration of Jesus affects our view of suffering. Mary led a life of suffering right up until his birth. As you and I are reading this passage, we know there will be suffering later. But everything Mary knew up until this point had been laced with suffering. What is she treasuring? What is she pondering? The fact that this baby is known as the Prince of Peace, that this baby is the lover of my soul, so considering that, let me ask you this. Do we really think that we will be able to respond right to the suffering that we face if we aren't adoring Christ? Knowing God will lead us to adoring Christ. Knowing God will lead us to adoring Christ. So if we do not adore Him, it shows that we do not really know Him. And if we do not know Him, we will fall miserably short in our ability to endure suffering in a God-honoring way. In this moment, the suffering that Mary had faced, you say, oh, it's worth it when a baby's born. Sometimes we hear mothers say that. It was so worth it. Could it be that Mary is thinking of this in a far deeper way than just the effects of the physical birth? He's here. The Messiah. The Savior. Yes, there was physical pain. But the suffering because of my own sin and the sin of mankind around me has been with me my entire life. And this baby is the Savior of my soul. He is the Prince of Peace. Do you, friend, do you think on Jesus? Not like a theory, not like a formula. Not just a heap of facts. But do you read of Him? Do you talk to Him? Do you contemplate Him? And then does that pondering lead to adoration? Let's stop with the flippant use of the word adore. That puppy is so adorable. That stuffed animal is so adorable. Mary is adoring not only her baby, she is adoring her Lord. Her treasuring and pondering continues on. In fact, 12 years later, we read that Mary keeps and ponders these things in her heart when Jesus amazes the religious teachers of the day. This is not a one and done for Mary. This is life for her. And yet all the way to the end, her adoration for her Savior is great. The Christmas story provides a sharp, clear reminder for us that if we were spiritually right with God, if you and I, friend, if we could manage our sin, Jesus would never have needed to be born in a cold barn or die on a cruel cross. Think about that, ponder that as Jesus' earthly mother was pondering on that day. Were it not for our sin, He would not have to come. As much as the birth of Jesus is a story of celebration, it is also a profoundly humbling and thought-provoking story. God did this radical thing in love because we are such a mess and so terribly broken. And Mary was there too. I don't know if nicknames were given out in her hometown, but was she known as the mess known as Mary? Some of us are. And people think of our lives, they think, oh, what a mess. Jesus came for the mess. He was born into a mess. And He willingly, knowingly, mercifully, graciously entered our mess so that the messy could be born anew. Could be born again. You say, I don't know. I mean, I want that. I want to love Him, but I have just done so many bad things. I've got great news. Jesus didn't come to save you from things. Jesus came to save you from yourself. The mess is not what we find ourselves in. The mess is us. Sinners. Created beings who rebelled against the Creator. Yet God in His mercy says, I will come as a baby. And I will grow and live among you. And I will die at your hand, shedding my blood, so that whoever would believe that I am the gift of God would be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the mess that is us in our sin. We are all sinners, and Jesus said that any sinner who would trust Him would be rescued from their sin and made right with Him. You can adore Him as your Savior today. Obviously, we would be overjoyed to introduce you to our Jesus because He saved us. We're just a bunch of messes that Jesus has made new. But believer, those of you who have been redeemed know this, that He has redeemed you. He has paid for you with His own blood. And so ponder anew what the Almighty can do. And as you ponder Christmas, as Mary pondered these things in her heart, as you ponder Christmas, treasure the story that tells you about you. It is good news that God said, all have sinned. It is good news that the finger is pointed at me saying, Chris, you are a sinner. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do with the mess of sin that is known as Chris. Obviously, insert your own name. And treasure these things. They are messages of hope. They are messages of grace. I read a number of years ago, the adoration of Christ is far more than programs or tasks or a one-time special service. It is a committed life of active participation in the Holy Spirit's ministry to and through the church. God in His grace has blessed us on so many levels. As Mary shows us here, there is time to sit back and contemplate, to ponder, to treasure the work of God on your behalf. But the blessings do not end here in the stable. We don't put Jesus away like we do our Christmas decorations and our nativity scenes. Jesus grew in favor, wisdom, and in favor with God and man. Jesus matured. Jesus had a ministry here on earth. Jesus died on a cross, and Jesus was raised from the dead. We serve a risen Savior. And in His great wisdom, He has said, you know what? I'm gonna pull all you believers together in this thing called the church, and you are going to be used for my glory. Oh, by the way, it's for your good too. And someday, I will return. And you will know the glories of heaven for all of eternity. Now, Virginia went. She's there. No limitations of this earthly body. No more contemplating. No more questions. No more suffering. But God was there, and God still is, and now she's with Him. He carried her along throughout her earthly life. And because she had placed her faith in Christ alone for salvation, she is with Him. Not because she was a good lady, which she was. Not because she was a member of this church, which she was. Not because she was loved by so many, again, which she was. But because of Jesus. Mary, you carry Jesus because of Jesus. Mary, they're coming to you because of Jesus. Mary, they're worshiping in that day because of Jesus. Mary, the Savior is in your presence. It's all Him. Mary treasured these things. She pondered them in her heart. Her love was fixed on her Savior. Friend, is your love fixed on Jesus or is it misplaced? How are you leading your family? How are you leading those around you? How are you pointing this world to Christ? Is your quiet contemplation leading to praise? Mary's, I'm sure, led to praise. I can't think of a specific passage off the top of my head, but we know this, that it definitely led to outward service. It definitely led to a life of worship. So friend, how does your quiet contemplation, your treasuring, and your pondering go? Does it lead you into more faithful, greater service for our Lord? Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. May we do the same. Would you bow in prayer with me? Father, I thank you for our time together today. I thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in Luke chapter 2. God, we're a busy people. And we confess that as sin. Because in our busyness, we don't often take time to treasure and ponder. Oh, we sing the words. We teach the classes. We scrape the walkways. We set up chairs. We do all kinds of things in service. But I wonder how often we sit back and we contemplate. And we are moved to adore you. For those who are believers here today, God, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts and help us to see how much you love us, and I pray that we would be struck by that and that we would be able to balance out the quiet adoration and the active vocal praise and service. I pray that you would help us to work that through in our minds, to make wise decisions about life, to remember that you have saved us and have purpose for us here. Yes, eternity is coming. We're thankful for that promise and the assurance that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But God, you left us here, and so I pray that we would take up our life here for you. Whatever suffering this life brings, you go with us. I pray that we would rest in that as believers. And for those who do not know Christ as Savior, what a gracious God you are, a loving God, to tell us that we are sinners. As rebels, would you move the unsaved to lay down their arms? God, I pray that you would save their soul as they call upon you as their only hope for salvation. They can do it right here, right now. Not in a class, but right in the quietness of their seat, they can say, I'm a sinner. God, I am a sinner who deserves hell, but you in your goodness and grace have given Jesus so that I could be born again, and I receive the gift. It ought to lead to adoration. And so I pray that you would continue the work in our hearts. Help us to yield ourselves to you, submit to you, and walk with you, and sing praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.